Godly Habits, 7 Spiritual Practices to Grow You as a Disciple of Jesus. Chapter 4, Friendship. Loneliness is the real epidemic of the 21st century. We can identify trends like the increase in the percentage of one-person households in Australia over the past century. Though there was no growth in one-person households from the First World War till the end of the Second World War, since the end of the Second World War, the percentage of one-person households has increased in Australia by 300%, from 8% in 1946 to 24% in 2011, after which time it has somewhat levelled out. In one sense, these numbers don't prove all that much. Just because you live on your own doesn't mean you're lonely, nor does living with other people mean you've got healthy relationships like marriage, family, and friendship, and so on. But it validates what we sense intuitively. We're more connected than ever via the internet, social media, etc., but also more isolated. An increase in wealth in general has not been matched by an increase in personal happiness. In fact, the reverse has been the case. As we discover on page 2 of the Bible, Genesis 2 verse 15, it is not good for a human to be alone. That's the only place in the creation accounts in Genesis 1 and 2 in which something God has made is described as not good. The sad reality of our lives speeding up is that for many of us, our friendships haven't been able to keep pace. And if this is a sad aspect to modern life in general, it's even sadder for Christians, for God is a God of friendship, the loving fellowship of Father, Son, and Spirit, such that to be made in His image must in some part involve being created for relationships too. And love for other people is embedded within the commands of Jesus and His most famous parables, think the Good Samaritan and the Prodigal Son. It is the most important thing, apart from loving God with all that we have. The early church was famous for friendship. You can only imagine that they would look upon the paucity and shallowness of friendships in the modern Western church with a degree of sympathy or pity. The problem with isolation is not only that we become lonely and sad. Isolation also means we are way too vulnerable to attack from the evil one and from the hardening potential of the sin in our lives. Long-standing friendships in which we share our weaknesses, in which our friends can ask us, "Is there something you need to tell me?" and in which we can bear the weaknesses and probe the secrets in others, will be a key weapon in our armory against the evil one. This is why we think friendship is a spiritual discipline more than just a helpful idea to safeguard your mental health. It's a godly habit as well as a good habit in which we sharpen each other's thinking, harden one another's gospel resolve, and soften one another's hearts to God's word and will for our lives. Loneliness and isolation don't need to be the way. A little creativity and some healthy discipline can move us out from isolation towards vulnerable, life-giving friendships. Having intentionality in our friendships takes energy and effort, and maybe even labor. But in many cases, we can practice the habit of friendship without adding additional events into our schedules. Because we're humans, and humans need to eat, we can practice the discipline of friendship at the same time as we eat, which means for most of us, there are 3 opportunities every day to develop friendship. Mark from our congregation says, "The one thing I value in a friend is honesty, direct honesty. Whether you've got something in your teeth, or you're going off track, or if you just need a comforting word." And Hannah from our congregation says, "The thing I value the most about friendship itself is how it helps us to change and grow." Give it a go, number 1. 1 meal per day with others. A good start to developing the habit of friendship is to share 1 meal per day with others. This might seem like an easy ask for families, but with chaotic work schedules, long commutes, and oft-changing children's activities, even getting a family dinner together might feel like planning a war. But persist with the effort. It might mean you need to tell your boss, colleagues, or clients that you'll be leaving at a certain time in the afternoon and be offline for a few hours, and of course be contactable later in the evening. It could be that you disappoint your children in saying no to yet another afternoon activity, training, rehearsal, lesson. It may mean you settle for having dinner later than you would like to in order to have more people present. Go with what works for you. Single folks might look envious at families, at the relative ease with which they can develop the habit of sharing at least one meal per day with others. But from above, we can discern that it's not always as easy as it might seem. Nevertheless, singles can be creative by inviting people to join them for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Having a proper sit-down lunch away from your workstation or computer or wherever you do your work with a colleague or a classmate is an option that probably doesn't take that much creativity or organisation, but can nevertheless be fruitful. It should be said that families can be creative too in inviting single people over or out as well. It works both ways. Trying to organise someone to share a meal with every day can be exhausting for anyone, so even just going to the same cafe for breakfast or lunch at the same time once per week or whenever and getting to know the staff there is one way to make inroads into this spiritual practice. Give it a go, number two, 1 hour of conversation per week. A second habit to implement is 1 hour of conversation per week. This is not about being in a growth group, which is a good idea, but a different idea. And it's not about a ministry to lonely or marginalized people. Again, another good idea. It's about encouraging friendships. Some suggest this should be with the same person each week, but a person other than a spouse or housemate. Others think it doesn't have to be the same person every week and that you're better off spreading the love around. But don't spread it too thin. The point of 1 hour of conversation per week is to develop deep friendship with one or several people in which you can share your frailties, failures, and vulnerabilities, and in which you experience loving embrace or support in return rather than rejection, even if that love comes in the shape of challenge or correction. You're not going to be able to do that if you're having 48 one-hour conversations per year, but you might be able to do it with four people if you have a one-hour conversation with them each month. Some helpful hints. Combine the two practices here. Having a standing arrangement with the same friend or friends to catch up at the same time each week or for the same meal each week. Or have a standing arrangement at the same cafe each week, even if you're meeting different people across different weeks. If someone can't make a standing arrangement 1 week, that's okay. Just regroup for the next week. It's just an exception that proves the rule. Enlarge the circle. Both of the practices mentioned here can be conducted with one other person, but neither of them have to be. Enlarging the circle by including one or two others can enhance gospel friendships rather than limit them. If you have a standing arrangement with two or three others, if one of you can't make it, you can press ahead anyway. Be intentional about conversation. An hour of conversation per week gives you plenty of time to talk about a range of topics, and you will likely not share your deepest, darkest secrets on week one. But to be intentional, you might need to establish ground rules. For example, to promise to share significant triumphs and failings with each other, to commit to confidentiality, and so on. You could develop a simple set of questions to ask each other each time, like, how would you describe your relationship to your spouse, family, housemates, and other friends since we last talked? What has been your attitude to and conduct at work been like since we last met? What has God been teaching you recently? Is there anything else you need to tell us? Have Christian friendships rather than just friendships with Christians. Talk about Jesus things and don't wait for the other person to bring it up. And you can never say I love you too often, and it need not be schmaltzy. If you love your friends, tell them so.